Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Ooh, still reeling from that old gut punch on Sunday Night Football. But good news is the Texans, they're rating well. Per Houston Cron, Greg Rajan, per NBC, Texans Lions was the most watched Week 10 matchup for Sunday Night Football in 5 years. 19.3 million viewers across the network and Peacock. That's big. A lot of people saw that second half doozy, if you will. It was great if you're a Detroit Lions fan, or if you're just a random NFL fan and you like to see action. You don't like to check out in the second half. They damn sure got that, but unfortunately for us here in Houston, it was enough to piss you smooth off. And it's got folks pissed smooth off here on Tuesday, and I don't imagine it's going to go away anytime soon. By the way, I want to thank everybody out there for listening, and regardless of how you're listening, we greatly appreciate it. But the Odyssey app is the way to go. I want to encourage everybody out there to download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. In fact, if you do download the Odyssey app, there's a rewind feature on there, and you can go back and listen to D'Amico Ryans. He was on live today right here on Sports Radio 610 with his presser. The lineup for media availability, if you will, for D'Amico and CJ and the coordinators. Everything's moved back a day because they play on Monday Night Football. What time was that, fellas, when we had D'Amico on? What was the time stamp on that?
About 2:35.
Yeah, about 2:40. Yeah, 2:35, 2:40.
Hit that Odyssey app, hit that rewind feature, 2:35, 2:40, and just pick whoever you like better, Tyler or Ron, and check that time stamp. But D'Amico Ryans was, I like the tone I heard from D'Amico Ryans.
Now,
I don't care. Everybody thinks that I want to hear him like dog cuss people. And it'd be nice. I wouldn't be opposed to it. But that's not what I'm asking. Like, I just want to listen to my head coach, and I want to know, damn it, it is painful. Damn it, it is. There is a sense of urgency. Damn it, we got to get this thing right instead of that, ha ha ha, it's 1 week at a time and every game is, you know, new game, long season. We love what we're seeing. No, you don't love what you're seeing. So the tone is, now we're going to pick out a couple of things. Tyler actually got a cut out of D'Amico Ryans that I got to play to kind of set an example of what I'm talking about. But download that Odyssey app any way it goes. Also, I want to give a big shout out to The Bull, one of our sister stations, 10-Man Jam. Last night, I went over there talking about old Dirty likes to party a little bit. Went over there and didn't get down too much, but me and my bride, we took in a little live music.
I saw the boots you had on yesterday. I figured that you were
they
weren't hoof boots like Will Anderson Jr., were they?
No, they were goat. Just a nice little kick around pair of boots. Scuffed up a little bit. I like to get out and just do a little moving and shaking. I don't do too much working in my boots, obviously, but I do like to get out and not worry about scuffing them. And that them old Tecovas, they're goat. It's nice brown color to them. It's a good looking boot, man. Good looking boot, and I had it on last night with.
I knew you wouldn't just.
I just went with a nice little tan pearl snap and some light jeans. It was nice. It was a good look, but the 10-Man Jam was tremendous. By the way, did you just break wind over in that chair?
I did not.
Swear
better
swear,
not.
Swear on something you love.
No, I swear.
Swear on something you love.
I swear on my children's.
You in there farting, dude?
He hiked that right cheek up just a little bit.
I was trying to reach.
I would bet a good amount that I heard of.
Interesting.
I thought, and it was a little grunt when he did it. I didn't know. I'd have bet good money that was you breaking wind right there. But sorry, I was going to wait to the break and ask you, but I can't. I wanted to laugh, so I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get it. I couldn't wait, man. Damn farts, they just do it to me, man. I was going to give it to you, though. For a guy that, I literally have damn near exploded over here trying to hold him in because I know you don't like it. And you just ripped ass over here. I mean, I'm thinking, wait, ain't no way. Ain't no way.
That's almost disrespectful.
Well, I'm dead. But I'm dead serious. I thought I heard something over there. I thought your body movement went right in line with you.
Thought I went for the lift.
Your body movement was like, ooh, got that one out.
Hold on.
Got that one out while he was talking. Don't have to worry about that. Anyway, tape drop Tuesday. It did. The tape did drop, and I was able to get a really good eye on the offensive film. I didn't have time to slow mo and watch the defensive film yet, but I got a really good eye on the the offensive film. And it reinforced a couple of takes that I had, and it cleared a couple of things up for me, Ryan. I know yesterday we talked about Bobby Slowick. That is the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans.
Is Slowick losing it?
Yeah, well, I mean, some would say, you know, and it's been a rough stretch for Bobby, no doubt about it. I am not happy with Bobby big picture this season. But this game in a vacuum, the Detroit Lions Sunday night football game, Bobby Slowick, as I said yesterday, was really good in the first half. He was actually better than I thought. He was tremendous in the first half. And just to outline a couple of things, the first touchdown, the run by Joe Mixon, the formation in motion made the play, creative way to get to that outside zone, and it worked beautifully, untouched into the end zone. Multiple quick concepts, screen concepts. And by the way, everybody out there, I don't care if the quicks and screens necessarily work. Now, in this game, they worked pretty good. A lot of people are hear pissing and moaning about the screen game. Why doing this? Why throw a screen to this guy? Why this? Why that? We can have that conversation, but I just wanted to see the screens, make a defense expand sideline to sideline and defend the screen game and the quick game. Make them DBs come up and defend the quick game. I just wanted to see it, and I thought Bobby Slowick did a tremendous job, and it worked really well in the first half. The second touchdown, CJ missed an opportunity to get a 5-6 yard gain. Tank Dell drops a football, both great schemes by Bobby, and then he schemes up the Mechie touchdown right behind that. Three plays in a row, great job by Bobby. The reverse that everybody's talking about, not liking, hate the call. I'm still not a big fan of the call or the design because it was too slow developing. But the film shows that if Joe Mixon, the guy he runs into, he takes a little play action fake, and the guy he runs into ends up being the guy that makes the play on Tank Dell. And if Joe Mixon would have just give me anything. Now, I don't know if that was his assignment. He was running out of a run, but he did hit the guy. If he gives us anything on that guy right there, if he just sticks him instead of kind of avoiding, then that reverse is a good play, potentially a great play. You got Tank Dell one-on-one with the defensive back in wide open field. So not as bad a call there as one might think. And I'll be honest with you, throughout the game, Ron, there were several plays that were schemed up and either the throw was late, the quarterback bailed the pocket, the protection broke down. Scheme in the first half and the second half was better than I thought it was based on Bobby Slowick's, again, play design, game plan, and play calling. There's not a whole lot in the second half with the two. There's seven drives. One of them was the missed field goal. Two of them were the interceptions. One of them was a drop touchdown by Tank Dell. That leaves you three drives to really kind of pick apart. There were opportunities in those three drives that stalled and ended in punt. There were calls and schemes that were good calls and good schemes that ultimately were either missed, the quarterback bailed, the protection broke down, or several of those excuses. So, Bobby was good, man. In the second half, he was decent. Wasn't just terrible. Wasn't like fire this guy bad. So he was better, I think, overall. He was better in the first half than I gave it credit, which I thought he was tremendous, but it was even better. In the second half, I thought he had left a lot to be desired. And it really, to be honest with you, it wasn't that bad. It had a chance. They should have scored 10 points. And if we're being honest, the drives that stalled were opportunities within those plays, within those drives to make big plays and to move the football and move the chains, and they didn't get taken. They didn't get executed.
Yeah, Clint, as you know, I'm never a big complainer of play calling.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's just absolutely blatant. I think a lot of times we say things like, "Oh, I want to see adjustments." Well, what are you talking about? And D'Amico, as D'Amico said, there ain't no major big time adjustments because it ain't like that. You know, like the defense is just gonna play the same damn thing they've just been playing all game long. They may change some things, and so that's for me. I'm a little off on that stuff, but like. You know, there are some certain things that we can see. And yes, something is up. You know, you score 15 points and no touchdowns in the last 4 weeks in the second half. Something is up. But there are some things that we can clearly see. Like, we can clearly see they should have had 30 points on the board, easy. Like, we clearly saw that happen in the second half. I may not know why he's calling certain things. If he knows that, as you know, you've been in there, that somebody may be hurt. Somebody may be feeling some certain way of why you don't call stuff a certain way. There could be. We don't know all of the situation that they know of why they're doing things. We don't know what has been handed down to him. I can't imagine, hey, it's 23-7. Let's make sure we're smart. We just threw a turnover, our first three possessions in the second half. We just turned the ball over and didn't get points. Let's be smart. Like, that clearly to me, that fourth drive, which was run, 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 then drop back pass, that was a hold, like five straight runs to start a drive. Like,
by the way, it was run, 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 first down, run on first down. And that first down run was for 6 yards.
And then
they were very productive runs.
Yeah. Like, but you just, like, with the play calling thing. But one thing we do know is there was a play schemed up that should have made the score 30-13.
Yeah.
And that to me completely changes the entire conversation of the game and how it goes. Like, we don't know anything else. Like, the same thing for CJ. We don't know maybe why he threw some of the throws, why he had some of them incomplete, what he saw. But we do know that occurred. And so, like, when we look at what Bobby did and the complaints of Bobby specifically in this game and the people wanting him fired and things like that, like, I just, the stuff we do know and what we did see, like, as you've said just now in the last 2 days, it's clearly that is too far.
Yeah, right. Yeah, look, I've been as critical as anybody of Bobby Slowick over the last month, and it's because I don't give a damn who's in the game. What you were doing, guys aren't capable of doing it. What I watched Sunday night was make the adjustment. Guys are capable of doing it. They're executing it well, and now you got to take into consideration, like, I can't be mad at what I saw on Sunday big picture because I understand what he's dealing with. Now I'm willing to talk. Like, before, I wasn't willing to talk about Bobby Slowick's injury issues and this and that, because what you were doing, it didn't matter who. You could put the five best offensive linemen up there. They weren't handling the pass rush. It wasn't going to happen. He adjusted, and so now I can take into consideration, okay, no Nico, no Diggs. It makes it a little tough when a team plays man-to-man, especially when the top teams in the NFL plays man-to-man defense or even tight zone. Makes it a little tough when you're expecting Xavier Hutchinson to create separation and you're expecting John Metchie to create separation. You know, you can start taking those things into consideration. I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about it, and it's like everybody thinks the playbook should be expanded and wide open. You can't even execute your basic mid-range pass game protections. And some folks out there want to expand the playbook.
I've what?
I don't give a damn what you line up in, Ron, but if your thought right now is expand the playbook, then you're watching a different Texans team than I am. Like, Bobby, if Bobby tried to expand the play, like when I say expand, I mean do more, not like what I ask. I'm asking Bobby to do more simple stuff, like screens and quicks and eliminate certain runs from the playbook. If somebody wants him to expand the play, literally this offensive line can't execute basic protections. And what you're saying indirectly is you're okay with your offensive coordinator. You would rather this offensive coordinator, and you wouldn't be calling for him to be fired if he trotted out there and continued to call the same stuff that guys can't execute and get CJ's ass killed. That don't even make sense. It doesn't even add up. And so I don't know. Look, bottom line is this. I'm there. I told a lot of people I didn't want to get too aggressive with the Bobby Slowick stuff because I wanted to watch the film first to see, get a really good gauge for what it was. I've watched it all the offensive film right now. Bobby Slowick was unbelievably good in the first half with the adjustments, the commitment to the run, featuring Tank Dell in the quick game. It was great. And then the second half, I thought it was probably leaning towards the bad side. I was wrong. After watching the film, Bobby was good enough to win this game in the second half. Unbelievable in the first half, good enough to win the game in the second half. As I said yesterday, this ain't the week to call for Bobby.
All right, coming up, is there a obvious collision course headed our way? And if so, who is the one that has the potential to not get there first? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Tonight, one of my favorite shows comes on, The Accused, and I want to address what I was accused of earlier in just a bit here. But
is that tonight? I ain't seen that show yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's one of those shows where it's a different story every.
Are you? I know. Are you gonna? Are you going to? I mean, you feel like you're going to address it. I mean, are you going to come clean?
I'm going to address it. No, I'm going to.
You talking about you farting in there?
I'm going to address my feelings.
I would bet good money on it before you told me a bold-faced lie that you didn't do it.
I didn't.
Hot air rises, man.
I'm leaning up to try to read.
There was a lean, a pop, and an exhale.
There was not a pop. There's a
little deeper than that.
A little popper.
We all know the different types of farts, right? It was kind of one of those little, like a bubble that you just a little bubble that you could almost feel it between your cheeks, and then it kind of just
real quick.
Okay, yep.
I will address it. It didn't either. I will address this. For starters, your ass has headphones on, and you were talking at the same time.
That's how loud it was.
The microphones pick up a lot, man.
I will.
And he gave a little flinch too.
It's just a bold face.
I'm telling you, the stars have aligned. There's too many coincidences.
I will address what I've been accused of.
This is what my wife did. The first time my wife farted in front of me, this is how she acted. No, wasn't me. No way.
No, I have not done that.
I can tell the look on his face. Right now. Can't you tell he's guilty?
I have not done that.
Seems a little guilty to me.
Does he look guilty?
Nope. See, no. I knew you were going to say that. I'm not bothered by you that you just made that lie. I didn't get up there and did. Oh, no. And I said, come on, man.
Everybody farts, man. We all
do. And I don't fart in small spaces like this. And I will get to this. I want to get to this news about the Texans real quick. Texans have made some moves. They released cornerback Dez King from the practice squad. I think he was called up a couple of games ago, as well as David Sharp, offensive lineman. And they are signing D'Angelo Ross back to the practice squad, who D'Angelo, before the game last Sunday night, over that weekend, they had released him, waived him. So they bring cornerback D'Angelo Ross back. That is interesting because we know Kamari Lashner had a concussion or was in concussion protocol. We'll see more about him tomorrow when that injury report comes up. But D'Angelo Ross, who started and played 100% of the snaps two games in a row against the Patriots and the Packers, they waived him out of nowhere and were just rolling with Kadar Holman. But now he comes back and they tell Dez King for the second straight year to kick rocks. I'll be honest with you. I have wondered what's up with this King and why he is not getting a shot in the slot corner spot. Which to me, some may disagree. They've had Tavier Thomas in there. They've had Jalen Petrie in there. Eric Murray has played in there some. Over the last...
Bryant, the kid that was in New England.
Miles Bryant. They've had in the last... What, year and 10 games?
They've rolled through a bunch of them, ain't they?
Dez King, to me, has been the best who's played that spot. And it seems like they've done all they could to avoid playing him, and now they have released him 10 weeks into the season.
Maybe he's an energy vampire.
And on top, maybe that is the case. On top of that also, they have worked out another cornerback in Rashad Fenton today. Apparently today, and we'll see. Hopefully this means Jeff Okuda is close. Not sure. He did not play in the last game, but hopefully the release of Dez King says he's close, but then it's odd because they bring back D'Angelo Ross. So they've made some moves in that secondary today, adding and subtracting players that they've had on the roster.
Yeah, it's interesting. All of this conversation just takes me to one place with our Texans, man. For me, is, as I've said before, Ron, and I don't mean to go off in the weeds here, if the Texans take that Texans product, offenses, defense, and special teams. You take that product that was on the field Sunday night, as painful as it was to watch, and you play that level of football moving forward, you're going to win 10, 11 games. You're going to get in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if you're going to be any closer to being able to beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh and the better teams in the AFC to get to a Super Bowl, but you're going to have – that product was a huge upgrade relative to what we've been seeing. I can see where that product will give you a chance to win against the better teams in the AFC. I still don't think you're ready, but it'll give you a chance to get there. And, Ron, I say all that to say Nico's obviously coming back. D'Amico mentioned that in his presser today that he will be practicing. You just mentioned all of this movement with Kamari Lassiter, what appeared to be a concussion. Have we?
Well, I just know he was in protocol.
Yeah.
Right? He was in concussion protocol and didn't return to the game.
Jeff Okuda potentially coming back. You saw last week you got Aziz Alshire and Jimmy Ward back, right? John Metchie coming into his own and looks like he's going to be able to do a little something at that wide receiver position and fill a void and be a legit third guy. You look the Patterson Juice Scruggs move looks like it was a decent little move. At some point you get Damian Pierce back, your backup running back. If you can just take the product that you had there, which you were missing a bunch of dudes and that product to win, and then you start plugging in 3, 4, 5 guys that are coming back from injury, like some of them are impact players. It'd be easy to get over this Detroit loss and get real excited about this team if they take care of business Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Monday.
Yeah, Monday night. Yeah, so moves that they're making. Nick and D'Amico are working, baby. Moves that they are making. And Dez King. Dez, I don't even have it in me to pour out another one for you. We've poured out so many. Damn near emptied the cup. I feel like this is just not goodbye, just to see you later, because they'll drag you right back in here somewhere to use them. All right, I do want to address, listen, I didn't fart, and I will tell you, you would have smelt it. It would have stopped you in your tracks.
Oh, my. Are you rancid right now?
No, and maybe this is a bit of an issue with and the farts is, I mean, you ask Courtney, man. I mean, 9.5 out of 10, man. That, like, there's gonna be a stench.
You're rancid, huh?
Are they silent but deadly, or is there noise associated to
loud ones? Don't matter. When I fart, there's not, generally,
good God,
it stops you tracks, huh?
Yeah, like there's no way that you would have said that and not had the evidence of smell. Like, Tyler lies and says this and says that my farts don't stink. They don't. They don't.
Well,
they don't.
Sometimes they really don't.
They don't.
Sometimes they do.
They don't stink. Nah. Mine, I understand about myself. Mine do. I don't have a sounder.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Wow, dude.
Mine are silent but deadly and loud but deadly.
And they hit hard. Yeah. Mm. You know, that's,
you would have smelled it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I was raised by a woman that has that problem. Oh, Astro Granny, she's pretty rancid. Oh, Hankster.
I hate to tell you.
Rest in peace, big bro. He was a nasty sunbuck like that right there, boy. It was, and Capitillo, my boy John Cap. Mm. He's not drinking anymore, but when he was, it was as bad as I've ever experienced. Like it was bad enough to piss you off. Like I'd be like, come on, man. Like, I mean, this is. No, I'm just trying to sit on the back patio and watch a little ball, man. I mean, it to the point where it'd piss you off. So
I could cut through some outside. I've been that.
So I didn't get a hint of it, but it was just a little tiny bubble. So I don't know how that.
You would have known.
It sounded like that bubble climbed smooth out of that big long crack of yours and just.
You would have gotten it. You would have gotten it.
Those all poppers, right. Man.
Coming up.
The boss man enjoyed that conversation about them farts.
I think he did. Well, we did business in front of it. I tell you, the thing that makes me really, really nervous for the Texans is the one thing that I think everyone's begging to get back. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Fellas, and I want to get people's thoughts here. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the 5-hour Energy Fan text line. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well.
Who is the most rancid person in your life? Is it your mom? Is it Ron?
You can join in that. I'm not in really in many of y'all's lives, so you're going to have to find someone else somewhere else there. But
do you have a Ron?
Do you have one? Do you have one? And does that person know who they are?
Sorry, I'm getting you off record here.
Jump in with us. You can jump into this conversation. Fellas, I've said this. I cannot wait to see Nico Collins return, and hopefully the signs are showing that he will return Monday night. As he returned to practice last Friday, he was a game time decision. They decided not to roll with him in the game on Sunday. And truly, they could have won the game without him. But obviously, when he left, he was the best, or at least the most productive receiver in football. And as I said earlier, funny, he is still in the top 20 in receiving yards right now. And he's not played in 5 weeks. He is still in the top 20 at 18 in receiving yards in the league right now. And the thought is, yes, clearly, and D'Amico said it, you've said it, Clint, when you have a Nico Collins out there, clearly he is going to make life easier for a lot of people. The quarterback, the play caller, the offensive line, everybody, he's going to make life easier. But the nerves to me, Clint, and nerves I think for Texans fans potentially is, what if D'Amico, or what if Nico Collins returning, Clint, doesn't cause a huge change in this offense?
No, God!
What if him returning isn't a deal of like, oh, wow, the flip has been switched in this offense? That was the missing ingredient and missing piece. Like, we saw when Joe Mixon returned, like the running game completely looked different, right? And we could see that. And I think what many people have been holding on, I have too, is like, all right, let's see what it looks like when Nico gets back. Let's see what it looks like when there is Nico and there is Joe and there is Tank. Because, hell, Nico and Joe ain't played a lot of games together. Let's see what it's like when they have all their weapons. And I just kind of start looking, and I'm like, he played 4 full games this season. Texans offense averaged 19.7 a game. They played five full games without him. They've averaged 24.4 a game without him.
Yeah.
Which not to say that, oh, their offense is better without him. No, hell, they had scored a second half touchdown, in 4 weeks. But that is the wonder, Clint, is how big of an impact does he make? And how much does he fix? How much does he cover? How much does he mask when he returns? And, boy, if we get in here in Clinton, if we see similar struggles, that's going to be really disheartening, I think, for the Texans.
Well, it'll be really disheartening for multiple reasons, just because we talked about it yesterday. Like, I don't know why. I can't explain it. I mean, Nico's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But, like, it's – until this week, like the screen game and the quick game that Nico excelled at was had just disappeared because he got hurt. Like, there wasn't even anybody else involved, right? The big play over the top, the post that we've seen a handful of times over the top of a safety that's got his eyes in the backfield. Like, I mean, you don't have a Nico, but Tank can run those routes. Like, all that stuff has just completely disappeared. Now, you can't protect the quarterback to get the receiver down the field long enough to do that for whatever reason. But where I'm going with all that is like, the main reason that it would shock the hell out of me is not because Nico's so good, but it's because Bobby Slowick is so much better and C.J. Stroud is so much better when Nico's on the field. Like, it just completely changes the way, again, with the exception of this week, I thought Bobby Slowick did a hell of a job, but for whatever reason, they were hesitant without Nico to go back to some of that quick stuff, some of the screen game stuff, and the shots, the deep plays are still gone. So, yeah, I would be shocked if it didn't solve a lot of the problems. I don't think it's going to make you any better against the better football teams in the league. Like, I don't think Nico is going to just go out there
and
all of a sudden this offense is not going to be able to be suffocated. No, I don't.
Because that's where I was going with next is because even like it's been 5 weeks. This is even a different offense than it was when he left, right? C.J. Stroud to me is a different quarterback. And hopefully he gets back to where he was.
Yeah,
but he, like, this was a CJ that wasn't missing throws like that, or whose footwork was off and skittish in the pocket. And we understand the reasons why when you get hit like he has been. But this isn't a CJ that he played with. And this is going to be more like last year, Clint. There's no Steph Diggs out there. And I would imagine teams are going to be more aggressive in how they cover him and how they try to potentially take that away from him. So I do wonder how this offense now functions when you get him back with no digs and how this offensive line is clearly a problem still and how CJ has played of late. I am curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I think it looks significantly better. The ripple effect that he has on the quarterback and the play caller, I think, is unbelievable. Along with what we just watched on Sunday Night Football, where it was, I know a lot of people don't like it, but it was significantly better than what we had watched. You know, just you're still going to have the same handcuffs as you cannot protect the mid-range game. Like you can't call a pass play. I mean, you have to throughout a game, but you want to minimize. How often you literally want to limit the number of mid-range pass games that you call, right? I mean, the go route with the 18-yard dig behind it where your quarterback needs to get deep in his drop and push up in the pocket and one hitch and boom, lay the ball in the void underneath the safety and over the linebackers. Like, that stuff's, like, you can't do it. Like, Nico's not going to come back and all of a sudden you're able to do those things. Right? Nico's not going to come back and all of a sudden you're able to protect long enough for C.J. Stroud to take some of those shots down the field. And those problems are going to exist until the offensive line figures it out. I do think that C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick both did a much better job this week, which you saw the results. It protected the offensive line. It kept the offensive line from just getting absolutely shredded. It allowed the offense to feature a guy like Tank Dell multiple times. It allowed the offense to feature a guy like Dalton Schultz. It allowed the offense a chance to feature the screen game, particularly with Joe Mixon, which he had two catches, I think, for 40-some-odd yards, right, with a big, long screen that he caught. You know, the approach allows you to feature more guys right now and assure that those guys are going to get the touches. That will continue with Nico. But the thought that all of a sudden C.J. Stroud is going to be able to sit tall in the pocket and hold the ball for a couple of extra counts because Nico came back, that's not happening. If that happens, it's because the Patterson Juice Scruggs move really worked
out. Yeah, from people from the text line. So basically you're saying it's not coaching, it's because Nico's not there. No, I'm not.
What's because of that?
That the offense has struggled. Listen, I think the offensive struggles have a lot to do with it. I think Nico Collins being injured is a big key. I think their coaching could be better. I think their quarterback play could be better. I think their offensive line play is an issue. Their protection is an issue. I think a lot of it. I think all of those things. I don't think it's just one major. I think all of them come through and become an issue. And I'm not saying I just think it's Nico not being there, but I do believe that is a holdout of, all right, this offense has been struggling, but they haven't had Nico. Let's see what it looks like when Nico gets back. Well, I understand why people are there, and I get that. I'm just like, boy, I hope it works. I hope if he plays on Sunday, we see, you know, a Cowboys team that's been scored upon, as we just saw the Eagles walk right through them like almost everyone has.
Yeah.
What's your point?
My point is that we would see, hopefully, the Texans' offense improve. Tyler,
Jerry said that, not me, man.
Damn it. Yeah, well, he said you said it through you, is what he said. But no, I hope that is the case. I hope we see him put up a 30 spot. And just as you said, though, just be honest, there's some of those things that ain't going.
Hold it with Micah Parsons rushing if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. All right, coming up.
Titus will be trying to strip the ball again.
Speaking of Nico Collins, coming up, we'll hear from the head coach as he gave the latest update on Nico Collins and potentially his return, as well as moves they've made. They've made some additions. They've released some players as well, brought some guys back into the fold. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.